Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. Because the American people were mostly sleeping during the last century, we've let our worst enemies turn our country and most of the world into a cage of steel. Our enemies control our media. Our enemies control our banks and financial system, so much so that they are able to create dollars at will and literally give them to their friends and favored institutions, conferring on them a terrible advantage in any political activity. Because of that informational and financial control, they control the so-called democratic political process, and virtually no candidate can be fielded by any major party without our enemies' consent. Our enemies control the educational establishment, too, from preschool through graduate school. And our young people, those of our race who have, despite all the odds against them, somehow been born, are marinated in an atmosphere of the most vicious anti-white hatred imaginable. Because of that financial and informational and political and educational control, businesses and corporations who wish to survive and make money have to conform to the political and social ideas and narratives put forth by our enemies. As I said, this is a cage of steel out of which, as the rebellious truckers in Canada and naive election truthers in Washington, D.C. recently discovered, it is extremely difficult to escape. Once you are targeted by our enemies, you may have your name and address published so that weaponized anti-white, quote-unquote, leftist rioters and non-white mobs can terrorize your family. You will almost certainly lose your job. Any financial lifeline that others may send you can be cut off at a moment's notice by quote-unquote woke capital, financial entities like banks, money transfer firms, and the like. If you annoy our enemies sufficiently, they will shut down your business's ability to use credit and debit cards to take orders from your customers. This has happened about 20 times already to one of the sponsors of this radio program, Cosmotheist Books. You will soon discover that the so-called justice system in America will be used as a deadly weapon against you, too, with a large percentage of police being sent to special training, set up and run, in many cases, directly by enemy organizations like the Jewish ADL, designed to make officers regard any manifestation of resistance to the tyrants as extremism and hate and deserving of special scrutiny, formerly reserved for organized crime bosses, and with career success and promotions almost guaranteed for officers who clamp down hardest on dissidents. Judges and prosecutors, too, are corrupted, not only by Soros or other Jewish money and behind-the-scenes campaigns, but by the overall structure of the field set by educational institutions and NGOs that have been in enemy hands for years. Once our enemies, the Jews who flooded this country starting in the late 19th century, were allowed to enter our financial institutions and our universities and our media and our political institutions, they quickly took over since they were united racially and we were not. Once they took over, they immediately and continuously worked to make their position impregnable and their dominion permanent. Before they achieved total power, they preached anti-establishment rebellion, rebellion against our people's old establishment. Before they achieved total power, they preached freedom of speech to criticize and deconstruct the old square white America they wanted to take down. They even sponsored things like the Berkeley Free Speech Movement and the ACLU in order to make sure that Jews and blacks and other anti-whites were perfectly free at all times to preach hatred of whites, preach communism, and preach burning down the old pre-1965 America they hated. But now that they have achieved near total power, they are all about enforcing the most rigid ideological and social conformity seen since that of Vladimir Lenin, with a perfunctory happy face sticker pasted on top. Now that they have achieved near total power, they are determined to keep that power. They are all about the stability and preservation of that power. In other words, they are all about stasis. Stasis, a most important word. The Cambridge Dictionary has a brief and elegant definition for it. A state that does not change. Maintaining a stasis while they're in power helps to ensure they stay in power. Stasis involves a balance of forces that keeps the system in place. Bolshevism as a system failed to stay in power. Bolshevism was one-sided and heavy-handed. Its brutal suppression of opposing forces sometimes strengthened those forces, and ultimately the balance was upset. Stasis was lost. Our enemies have learned that allowing a controlled and limited opposition to their rule, an opposition that never really challenges the system but only seeks reform within it, is a good safety valve and actually helps to maintain the societal stasis they want. Thus, we have disgusting creatures like Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, Ted Cruz, and all the rest of the so-called conservatives who scream loudly about peripheral issues like tax policy or budgets or masks or ICE facilities or unisex bathrooms, but who almost never challenge the wars our enemies want us to fight and even lead the charges for them, who never question the conversion of America into a multiracial country and even praise said conversion, who never even acknowledge the existence of our enemy's predatory financial class of bankers, hedge fund billionaires, and other Wall Street vultures, who never even acknowledge, much less do anything about, the central fact of our times, the control of the mass media by Jews. Put 99.9% of the alternative right and new right into the controlled opposition camp, too. Their own words demand it. They act their part, too, as agents whose purpose is maintaining the stasis of the current system. The war in Ukraine has already shaken up our enemy's system. It's done so in several ways. It's resulted in decisions to implement blatant censorship. But we'll leave that for another program. The example I want to give you today involves the U.S. dollar. The dollar is one of the main pillars of the Washington/Jewish system's world hegemony. Sometimes it's called the petrodollar. Missiles, bombs, and military forces full of naive white soldiers back it up. If you are a nation or a large company that needs energy, and they all do, that means you need oil. The Washington regime, and that regime is tightly interlocked, almost synonymous with the Jewish power structure, has made arrangements, many of them through threats and bullying of other nations, so that you must pay for that energy with U.S. dollars, or the regime will make war on you. Try to sell oil for gold, or for Bitcoin, or for rubles, or for yuan, and you will soon find the regime change and color revolution and nation-building brigades and bombers on your doorstep. Therefore, many, many nations and corporations must somehow get U.S. dollars. And that demand gives the dollar value. That value means that people will trade their labor for U.S. dollars. Having billions of people willing to trade their work for U.S. dollars means that those who hold, or more importantly, those who create U.S. dollars, are able to command the peoples of the earth. To put it bluntly, it means that the Jews command the peoples of the earth, thanks to the U.S. dollar and the financial system that supports it. The petrodollar dominance means that the dollar is overwhelmingly used as a reserve currency by central banks, big financial institutions, nations themselves, and large corporations. This is yet another pillar of the world power of the Jews and the Washington regime they control. A reserve currency is simply the currency of preference used when settling foreign trade accounts and held in reserve by nations or their central banks to be used when buying or selling their own currencies to keep them from rising or falling too much in relative value. This means that many, many central banks around the world must hold large quantities of dollars at all times to facilitate such stabilization operations. This creates continuous demand for dollars and gives great power to those with the godlike right to create dollars out of thin air. However, the hysterical reaction of the Jews and the Washington regime they own to the war in Ukraine has now led them to sabotage their own financial system. Like all other nations of any significance, Russia holds U.S. dollars, mostly as U.S. Treasury bonds, as a reserve to support its own currency. $630 billion of those reserves were held by Russia, mostly in Western banks, as is the usual practice. Since Russia's currency, the ruble, fell by some 30% when Russia invaded Ukraine, The normal practice of Russia's central bank would have been to use some of those dollar reserves to buy rubles, bringing the value of the ruble back up and back into balance with other currencies. But last Monday, the Washington regime, and also the EU and Japan, who were pressured into going along, made it illegal for the banks where Russia was holding its foreign exchange reserves to allow Russia to access its own accounts. Additionally, it was made illegal for any bank or financial intermediary to accept the U.S. dollar bonds Russia held within its own borders. So, not only has Russia had all of those billions instantaneously stolen, but it also cannot support its currency in world markets, which will make it much harder for Russia to get any imports it might need, including food or necessary items for national defense. Now, Russia does have some reserves outside the clutches of the West. They have thousands of tons of gold, and unlike many other countries who discovered to their sorrow that gold held by U.S. or Jew banks can be confiscated at will, Russia holds all its gold in Russian vaults. There is also evidence that they have been buying Bitcoin, and even though crypto exchanges have been bullied into blocking certain Russia-linked accounts, Bitcoin, held on private wallets, is uncensorable and permissionless. There is also ample evidence that Bitcoin is being used widely in Ukraine as well. The banker Jew Washington theft, they call it freezing, of Russia's reserves will do two things, each of which has the potential to destroy the stasis of the current world system. One, it will force Russia and her allies and partners to decouple more than ever from the Washington regime's world financial system. They will have to find other ways to buy what they need and make what they need. This will weaken Russia as intended, at least in the short term, but it will also weaken Washington's dollar hegemony as more and more nations find ways to work around it and without it. Two, and this is the most important stasis-busting effect. Many nations, including superpower China, which holds a lot of U.S. treasuries, are going to look at what happened to Russia and its foreign exchange reserves, and they are going to ask themselves this question. Are U.S. dollars and U.S. treasuries and dollar-denominated assets in general a safe place for our foreign exchange reserves? Are they a safe place for our savings in general? Are they really stable and a safe haven in uncertain times, as we have been told they are? Are they safe in any sense if the dollars we quote-unquote own can be turned off by Washington and its Jew overlords at any time they choose? Are they safe in any sense if we instantly lose them, if we act in our own national self-interest? So, when this realization fully kicks in, the Washington regime will find it harder and harder to sell its debt. Demand for the U.S. dollar will go down. It may lose its status as the world reserve currency. As nations find ways to do transactions without U.S. dollars being involved, it will no longer be practical for even the bloated U.S. military to make war on everyone who starts buying oil with something other than dollars. A self-reinforcing feedback loop will drive demand for dollars to lower and lower levels. And Jewish Washington hegemony in every field and every region will spiral downward as a result. The stasis of the current world system may indeed be broken in the coming years. By simple definition, we who want a white racial state need an end to the stasis of the current system. Despite our need for a breaking of this stasis, we in the National Alliance have no current means of breaking it ourselves, except at a personal and organizational level. We have no secret weapons, nor armies at this time. We can and do, however, bring our vision of a white future to more and more individuals and integrate the best of them into the real-world white racial community that we're building, both the physical community in Upper East Tennessee and our other facilities, and our organizational and educational community that spans several continents. The anti-nature system created by our enemies may have its stasis broken by its own internal conflicts and contradictions, and by the wars in which it continually engages. What we need to do, whether or not the system's stasis is broken by this current war, is build the strength of the National Alliance as an organization and as a community. Building that strength will allow us to be in the best position possible when opportunities arise. Building that strength sufficiently will allow us one day to create our own opportunities, opportunities for achieving the power over our own destiny that we must have, opportunities for forever crushing and eliminating the prime enemy. Don't get caught up in secondary conflicts like the current war between rival anti-white systems. Far more important is building the National Alliance. You know what to do.